It's already many years ago that we had a koil in the yeshiva, a group in the yeshiva, learning together in the afternoon. Looking back, the koil was a super koil. You know a lot of the people who were in it. You had in that koil, for one, Rabbi Wiener was in that koil, Rabbi Eichen was in that koil, Rabbi Abramoff was in that koil, Rabbi Gardenhouse was in that koil. Rabbi Raymond was the Rosh Chabura, and they learned Yerideya. They learned, you know, Yerideya in order to do the parts of Yerideya that you usually get a smicha on, but they did it Tomo style, you know. From the bottom up, talked to Chashuva Paiskim, went to talk with Chashuva Paiskim, Rabbi Abramoff, I remember, you know, he, I don't know if it's Ara Yerim Azeh, but it's still in contact with the these Peskin that they went to talk to. He made such an impression on them that, like, that, what's it called? They kept in contact with him afterwards. I had shiurim with them or whatever. He had shiurim with them. And after they finished the program, so they made, like, a gala affair. I mean, you know, a gala affair. Not like we're going to have, you know, soft launch, hard launch, or any, like, the real thing. They rented out a hall, big chasana hall. And it was actually the first year that Tomo made a dinner in America. And parallel to that, a couple of weeks later, so we had this massive siyum. And at the siyum, so Rav Shmuel Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he spoke. Rav Yitzchak Shiner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he came and spoke. Rav Steinman was supposed to come and speak, but he ended up getting sick. And Rav Naftali went to Bnei Brak that morning and videoed him, and he spoke on the video. It was him talking to the Rosh Yeshiva, a whole conversation. It was a massive, massive thing. Anyway, what was my role in this whole thing? I wasn't in that koil, but I was given the job that when they put out the brochure for this event, so they wanted to have a bio of every single guy in the koil, you know, telling you a little bit about him. And so I got that job, 15, 16 bios, whatever it was, or whatever. I don't think that they actually used my bios, because they were probably much too hartzig and not technical enough, you know. Which, you know, they wanted more of a technical type of thing, you know, born in 19, whatever, Boston, whatever, I don't know, chvesnish. But for me, it was an experience that I wouldn't have given up for the world. Why? Because it was an opportunity. I didn't realize until I got busy with it that you're trying to describe 16 different people in, you know, the most, what's it called, in the most complimentary, but yet at the same time, not phony, totally true way possible. And it forces you to look at people and just bring out in your mind all of the tremendous milas that all these people have. It was like a base medrash for Hakaras HaTayv, of recognizing the goodness in all of these people. Another memory that I have, this goes back even further than that, much further than that. My first year that I was in Kailo, here in Eretz Yisrael, and I think that this was the first year that this thing started. Now here in Eretz Yisrael, every year, during the 9 days, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam is Lashon Hara, so they have a whole maimid with all kinds of different shiurim and a massive maimid in Binyanei Omah for ladies, to try to be mechazik, you know, not talking Lashon Hara. It was the first year that we were married, and they had three speakers at this maimed. The first speaker number one was Rav Shamshon Pinkus Zatzal. Speaker number two was Rav Israel Tauber Zatzal. And number three was Rav Beryl Wein Zatzal, closest to my heart, because that's who I grew up with. And Rav Shamshon Pinkus, this is 35 years ago. I don't remember exactly what he talked about. I remember it was on the more metaphysical side of things that I do remember that part of the drasha. Rav Israel Tauber, the ikar of his drasha was is that you want to be mekayim v'ahavta l'reacha kameicha. It has to be kameicha, because you can't love anybody unless you love yourself. And somehow that tied in with Lashon Hara. But what Rabbi Wein spoke about, and this is what's reminding with me, it ties into this topic too. Rabbi Wein said, listen, there are all kinds of halachas about Lashon Hara. And there's things that you can say that you can't say. But there's one point that I want to make here is that the message underneath all of Lashon Hara is be positive. Be positive. Don't be a negative person. And he quoted an unbelievable statistic. He said that in the United States, they did a study. This was in those days. Nowadays, the numbers may have changed. When a kid is 3 years old, three-year-old kids, before they went to school, they found that 85% of them had a positive image. They felt good about themselves, you know. Mommy, daddy, everybody thinks I'm the center of the universe. Well, you know, what could be terrible? Everything's great. The sun comes up in the morning, and it's a wonderful world. 3 years later, after nursery school, kindergarten, first grade, the numbers switched around to almost backwards. 85% of the kids not so sure that they are really worth too much, and 15% still had a positive image. But what happens? Because people say, you know, you're this, you're that, you're not reading fast enough, you are reading fast enough, you're not athletic enough, you are athletic enough. Everybody is a critic. Everybody is coming down. But we all know that being positive and seeing the positive, not only is like what we said last week, the Chavis al-Vavis, he says that it's the site of Kol HaTorah Kula, is being Makir Tov. But if you think about it, that really is, that's the key to everything. Torah revolves around three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. But at the sheresh of being successful in all three of these, or any of these three, you have to first start out with a positive attitude. Is the world a good world? Or is the world a lousy world? How do I express myself when I talk about the world? How do I look at the world? And I'll tell you something else. If you look at the world as being a good world and you're optimistic and you expect good things, you're going to have a happy life no matter what happens to you. Noach Weinberg always used to say, who would you rather be held up by? A happy hold-up man or an angry, aggressive one? Give me all your money. Well, the other guy, he's happy, you know? You would much rather be held up by a happy hold-up man, even if he takes more money from you. But you'll enjoy yourself much more. And you'll be more successful. You'll be energized. Because positivity underneath it all is really the key to everything. And that's what I want to talk about today in the context of Lashon Hara, because, you know, that's at least that's what they were talking about during the 9 days. But also in the other way of looking at things and being Makir Tov and Chas V'Shalom not looking to see the other way. Or picking ourselves up and investing that energy so that we can really we can see things in a positive light. So here in Eretz Yisrael this week, so we lay in Parsha Shlach, and in Chutz La'aretz, a lot of people be listening in Chutz La'aretz, so it's Baal Eischa. I didn't realize that last week, but you know, by default, I ended up talking about both also. But this time, let's do it on purpose. So what's the, you know, the knetch that holds together Baal Eischa and Shlach? Well, that's easy. Just take a look at the first Rashi. And Rashi says over there, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, the whole story of the Maisa Meraglim, Zakt Rashi, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, Loma Nismecha Parshas Meraglim LeParshas Miriam. How come the Parsha of the Meraglim is right near the Parsha of Miriam, where Miriam ends up getting tzaras because she talked about Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefi shaloksa al iske diba, because Miriam was punished because of the fact that she spoke badly. She dibra b'acha, that she talked about Moshe Rabbeinu. V'rishoyim alalu ra'u v'lo lakhu musar. And these rishoyim didn't take musar. Interesting. Just from here, you would say, okay, there's a knetch. Miriam did the Avera of Lashon Hara. She was Luxa Bitsaras. And the Meraglim, they also didn't take Musar. They spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael. But you take a look at the mission in Erechim, it's a lot deeper. The Mishnah in Erchin tells us that not only did the Meraglim speak Lashon Hara, after all, what was their Lashon Hara about? Eitzim v'avanim, sticks and stones. I mean, they weren't even talking about people. They weren't saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't know what he's doing, and this one is bad. No, they're talking about sticks and stones. They're talking about Eretz Yisrael. If I were to ask you, what was the Chet HaMeraglim, what would you probably tell him? Tell me, well, that's what I would say. The Chet HaMeraglim is, what they did was, they convinced all of Klal Yisrael, you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They made everybody cry. They made them disbelieve Moshe Rabbeinu. And this whole PR campaign basically put them in a matzav where, like, they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael anymore. Says the Mishnah in Erechin, it's not true. The Mishnah in Erechin tells us is that the Gzar Din of the Meraglim was, why? Was because they were Mitzi Di Ba'ala Aretz. It was because of Lashon Hara. So question number one is, like, come on. That was the worst thing that they did. They said not nice things about Eretz Yisrael. I understand tremendous hate, going and twisting the people and making everybody cry in their tents. It's a Bechiel Adairis. But just the fact that you express yourself negatively about Eretz Yisrael, that's the Gzar Din? What's pshat with that? But you turn the page in Erechin, it gets much, much worse. The Gemara over there, it's one of these Gemaras that you read it and you think, okay, fine, this is just obviously hyperbole. It's a guzma. Because it can't really mean this. But it has a whole list of things over there. Go on, Misapar Lashon Hara, Ki'ilu, what? Kafar Be'ikr. Come on. Yeah, it's not nice. Yeah, you know, you go to across the street, Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz, he's a Yid, though, like, you talk something bad about somebody within his Dalet Amos, it's like, you know, somebody just, like, you know, whatever, like somebody just stank up the room. It's like, it's so detestable to him. There are other people, I'm sure you know people like that. You say something negative about something or somebody else, like, yuck, they get that out of here. I can't deal with that. But Kaifer Be'ikr? Another one, Roy Lecycloy. Same einus as you get, you know, whatever various horrible forms of arayas, Baal Behema, Baal Kalasai, the worst, Michal Shabbos, Roy Lecycloy, for Lashon Hara. Shove it to Gimel Averis Chamuris. What else does it say over there? Imar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani V'Hu Yechaylin Lador Ba'olam Yachad. We can't live together in the world. I can't deal with this guy. Come on, it's so bad. It's a nasty midah. It's disgusting. You say bad things about people for no purpose. You like to just prop yourself up by, like, talking badly about people, by talking badly about institutions. By talking badly about food, even, you know, forget about the person who made the food. Ah, this food is rotten, you know, you don't know who made it, so you're not talking about the chef. Kaifer Be'ikr? Come on. Kaifer Be'ikr? Royal Cycloy? It's got to be a guzma. But the Rambam paskins la halacha. So it can't be a guzma. Look at the Rambam, he brings every one of those things la halacha. The Gemara in Yuma says, that which was worse, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. Obviously, Bayis Sheni, the Gemara comes out. Why? Because Bayis Sheni was still not rebuilt. What was Bayis Rishon? Gimel Averis Chamuris. What was Bayis Sheni? Sinas Chinam. Zakta Chavetz Chaim and Sefer. What's Sinas Chinam? Not Sinas Chinam in your heart. Sinas Chinam expressed Lashon Hara. It's a disgusting midah, but what's so bad about it? So question number two. Why was that the Gzar Din, the Chet HaMeraglim? And also, what's with all these guzmas? How did it be such a horrible thing? And finally, a third question. Really, I believe that this begins to put it all together. Make use of our experience in Nefesh HaChaim. The Pasuk, right? The Pasuk that Nefesh HaChaim is named after, and really, which is the Nefesh of the entire Sefer, and the Nefesh of the entire universe, is the pasuk Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam a nishmas chayim, Vayhi ha'odom le'nefesh chaya. And Adam became a nefesh chaya. What is a nefesh chaya? Everybody knows. Unklis ruach mamala. A speaking being. A being not only who speaks, but who has the intelligence to express himself, to express an opinion, whether it be with a wink, whether it be with a frown, whether it be with an angry face, whether it be with a maisa. You run fast, or you slow down. It's all in ruach mamala. We have that ability to express ourselves. So that's what it means. Vayipach biyapam nishmas chayim v'yia adam l'nevesh chayim. But zak the nevesh chayim, make a diuk in the pasuk. Why doesn't it say in the pasuk vayihi ha'adam vayihi ba'adam l'nevesh chayim? Why does it say that this neshama became inside of the person, right? A ruach mamal. He's medayik from that, vayihi ha'adam lin nefesh chaya, that the person himself became the nefesh of the universe. But that's what the whole sefer Nefesh HaChaim is about. Whatever our actions do, so then it affects the entire cosmos, it affects the whole universe. If I do a mitzvah, everything changes for the better. If I do an avera, everything changes for the worse. I'm the soul of the universe, and every person is the soul of the universe. That's what we are. We are the Nefesh HaChayim. But think about something interesting, and this is what we need to put together. That same word, Nefesh Chaya, which means Ruach Mamaloa, that also connotes that we are the soul of the universe, which means that our Koach HaDibur, our Koach of expression, is the soul of the universe. Why is that? Why is the koach that we have to express ourselves, whether it be for good, whether it be for bad, why is that called the soul of the universe? And how does that whole system work? And we put this all together. Why koach? Why the ruach memalala is the koach underneath it all, the universe? So Be'ezer Hashem will understand also why Dibo was the chet ha-meraglim and why the gzera and why the fact that if we talk Lashon Hara, why in the world is it so, so horrible, so, so terrible? I have many favorite stories that happened, I don't say told, you know, when growing up there was such a thing called a Rabbi Wein story, or that Rabbi Wein told stories. You know, he always used to say, all the stories that I tell are true, but most of them haven't happened yet. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the stories that really did happen with him, that he told about himself, and that, you know, whatever, reportable. But one of my favorite ones, probably one of the reasons why my favorite ones, is because of the story that happened with Yashar Ber. They interfaced. I never knew it growing up in high school. I found out much later when, like, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and then, like, everything came out of the closet, you know. So he was, he said, you know, whatever, he said in Shiurim that at the Tkufa when he was at the OU, so he was in Manhattan a lot, and Rav Yashar Ber, when he used to come in from Boston to say Shiurim at YU, he had a little apartment where he used to stay, and Rabbi Wein was in the Rabbanus, and very helpful, he said, to have like an older Talmud Chacham that you could talk to and tell him, you know, all the problems that you go through, you know, kind of a therapist type of thing or whatever, who will, like, really get it and understand where you're coming from and advise you and tell you, don't take that too seriously, and this is really a problem. And he used to go, you know, almost on a weekly basis to, like, schmooze with him. So there was a tekufa then where he was at the OU, he was offered a job. They offered Rabbi Wein a job as it was at YU. They offered him a job as a combination to be a Magid Shir at YU, together with being a title called Dean of Students, whatever that means, you know, whatever. Exactly what the job description was, he says it was very attractive because aside from everything else, they were going to give him, you know, whatever, free reserved parking, which in Manhattan is a very, very big deal, and, you know, he was very tempted to take it. He spoke it over with Yashar Ber. Yashar Ber said, yeah, this, that, and the other. No, don't take it. It's not for you. Stay away. I know what's going on or whatever. It's not for you. And even though he was very, very tempted, he didn't, you know, didn't take the position. A number of years later, and he's still at the OU and everything, and he's thinking about leaving. It ended up being that when he left the OU, that's when he started Shari Torah in Muncie, which is, you know, that's where I went. But he was thinking of leaving, and, you know, again, talked it over with Yashir Ber. And he said, you know, whatever, I'm thinking of leaving the OU, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he, this time he said to him, you know, whatever, again, I disagree with you. He says, you know, but we had the other conversation or whatever, and you said this and that, 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 whatever. And so he says, no. I think you should stay in the OU, because I think that the OU, it's a good shidduch, and you're doing very good work over there. He had all of his reasons. But here's the punchline. I rewind and turn to him. He goes, but part of the reason that I think that I want to leave the OU is because I've noticed lately that I'm becoming cynical about certain things. Certain things, certain people, certain institutions. So Yashir Ber stopped. He stopped and he thought, he said, you're becoming cynical? I said, yeah. He said, you're becoming cynical, then you should leave. Not only should you leave, he said to him, he goes, but leave fast. I think the lashon he used was turn around and run. He said, because becoming cynical is the first step to becoming an apikoros. Hear that? When you become cynical, that's the first step to becoming an apikoros. Now that sounds like a guzma too. What does that mean? Just because I'm snarky, and I was like, this is not good, that, no, I'm becoming an apikoros. But if you understand the amkus to that statement, then I think that you understand all the other things too, about how it's not a guzma at all, and about how the chet of lashon hara be'etzem is the avi avos hatuma in this entire universe. When we're talking about b'charto b'chayim, es achayim es amaves, samti lefonecha, maves is lashon hara. Maves is cynicism. And that's the first step to becoming an apikoros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. It says it in all of its Svarim HaKadoshim. Some call it Gila Yehudai. Some call it Olam Chesed Yibane. Some call it Micha Katov Lehetiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. Kol Mashe Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'olam Eloi Baray El Chvaydai. He created this world because he wanted to create a place for Nivroim, which is going to be a great world. Call it a perfect world, where everybody could be nene, where everybody can have a grand time, where everybody can just be safe from the Shechina, and never will be heard a discouraging word, and, you know, everything will be happy. And that's the way that it was supposed to be. He gave us a Torah. He gave us mitzvahs. He told us what we have to talk about and what we need to express and what we need to do in order to bring out all the goodness in the world. And if we express the notions and if we express the thoughts and if we express the limudim and the chachma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to, and we spend a life of chesed, of building, and our avoda being attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a positivity that this is a good world, the world gets better and better and better and better and rosier and rosier and rosier. Because unfortunately, we botched it up already. We need to build it back to what it was. But the minute that we start doing things, or even worse than doing things, expressing things and feeling that this place is not so hot, this guy's not so hot, this yeshiva not so hot, this person not so hot, this food is not so hot, what are we doing with our tongue, or with our wink, or with running, or with our expression? We're destroying the world. We're destroying the world. Being mitzi diba ala aretz, going ahead and saying something worse than bad baritz Yisrael, That's a lot worse than just convincing the people, oh, you don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, Beseder. You don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, okay, fine, you're convincing the other way. But bringing about that perspective, the Eretz Yisrael, which is, you know, whatever, that's the Spitz land. And you put it down. You're nargon about it. You're cynical about it. It's machriv. The guy goes and he's Baal Behema. He's Michal Shabbos. He did a maisa, he's Chayiv Skila. But the guy who goes ahead and he says Lashon Hara, he tears down the very be'etzim, what the whole world is about, and says, this is not such a good world. Because this guy's part of that world, and you're going to knock it down. Of course he deserves Skila. And it's Keneged Gimel Averis Chamuris, and it's worse than Gimel Averis Chamuris, because Gimel Averis Chamuris, at the end of the day, is still superficial, it's a maisa. But this is the very attitude that decides whether you're going to build the world or you're going to destroy the world. Rav Moshe Shapira says that the Torah tells us, you know, we have a mitzvah, Bacharta Bachayim. I enjoyed very much. I heard from the Rosh Hashiva within the last couple of weeks. Bacharta Bachayim, you know, people like to ask Shailas, what should I do this? What should I do this? They're ignoring a very fundamental thing, that using your Bechira is a mitzvah. So you should ask to get advice, but at the end of the day, you have to train yourself to make decisions. But what does it mean? Nasati lefanecha es achayim v'esamaves atoiv ara b'charto b'chayim. Do you ever meet anybody, says the Moshe Shapiro, who chooses death? Okay, somebody who's suicidal, but a normal person. Don't choose death. Come on, who are you talking to? This is the pshat. The guy who decides that the world is not such a good world, it's not so hot, you're cynical about everything, you killed the world. You're choosing death. You're choosing that the world should be deflated, should be depressing, should be bad. Don't do that. Talk it up. Be Makar Tov. Write a bio about all of your friends. If not on paper, then at least in your mind. And that's the Yesod of Yiddishkeit. Yesod of Olam Chesed Yibaneh, building the world, having positive attitudes. And I told you last week that, you know, in my mind, and I'll tell you, last year when they started this whole, they started this whole campaign. So like everybody else, it's like, oh my gosh, what are you getting me to do this for, or whatever it is. But I found last year, and it's happening again this year, that at least, you know, the opportunity that it affords a person is to think about, you know, I'm helping out over here. What am I helping? Put it down on paper. Conceptualize for yourself. What am I getting here? What's good about it? What's the opportunity? What am I supporting? There's another part of it also, is just like getting caught up in the energy, which personally, you know, whatever. I used to tell people, listen, the closest that I get to team sports every year is going matzah baking. Okay, but now I just have to go downstairs in the dining room, you know, after 5:30 at night, and it's like, okay, fine, you know, whatever it is. It's like a little bit below my age level, you know, to be excited about the fact that, you know, the what's it called, that we have the playoffs going on in basketball, you know, but like, this is like a good expense, this is like a good replacement, you know, it's just, come on, you know, whatever, positive energy, get excited about it. And you're doing so much good. You're doing so much good. So people don't chop, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva said it under his breath. When he talked that night in the dining room. So I'll say it a little bit more emphatically. The income of the yeshiva basically is, you know, from tuitions and from fundraising, all of which, you know, come from Chutz La'aretz. I don't know, maybe here in Eretz Yisrael, a little bit, but Roiv Rubei of it comes from Chutz La'aretz. That means you're getting it in foreign currency. I happen to know, because it hits me in my pocketbook too, through my own salary, that your salary and the income of the yeshiva this year went down by 30%. Put into practical terms, if somebody is making, you know, $100,000, we're not making anywhere near that. Don't start thinking in those terms, but just because it's easy math, you're losing $30,000 a year. I don't know the numbers, but I would venture to say that this year, most probably without doing anything because of currency rates, the yeshiva probably lost about $1 million this year. Think about it. How much money does it take to run a yeshiva with the income or whatever it is? So if you're talking about 30%, probably in the ballpark of $1 million. So there's an Indian of being positive. That's really what I'm talking about. It's just, okay, I didn't even intend to say this, but it's just on my mind because, you know, whatever it is, because it's just, you look at the numbers and it hurts. But the ikar is that people have to realize, and this is the aside of this week's tie-in. Lashon Hara is the Avi Avei Satuma, because the way that we look at things in the world, whether we look at things positively, whether we look at things negatively, it determines whether we have a happy life or whether we have a miserable life. But more than that, if you pump up the world and you look at the world positively and you mock your toiv, you make it into a more beautiful world. And that's the Ruach Mamalala. The Ruach Mamalala is the Nefesh HaChaim. And if Chas HaShalom, you do the opposite, if you talk bad about the world and you look negatively at the world, so then you're Machrev Kol Olam Kulei Chas HaShalom, that's worse than Gimel Averis Chamurus. It's not a guzma. It's a very simple thing. It's kaifer be'ikr, because that is the ikr. The ikr is that your attitude changes everything. That's the Nefesh HaChaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this guy who looks at it negatively, I can't be in the same room with him. Why? Because I created a total positive world. A world of chesed. And what is he saying? Rain, rain, go away. Bez Hashem, so we should all develop that attitude. It's not so easy, because we're taught to do otherwise. But if we get into that habit of just being positive people and looking at life positively, so then Be'ezus Hashem, it will affect every endeavor, and it will affect Kol HaTorah Kula, because we are Ruach Mamalo, we're put in this world to express positivity. Everybody should have a good Shabbos.